Christian, do you accept the path our Lord has set for you, even if it involves your suffering? On today's broadcast titled, The High Priestly Prayer, recorded September 22nd, year 2024, in Kansas City, Missouri, during the North and South Central Districts Convention and National Men's Day services. Bishop Omega delivers a powerful sermon centered on Christ's Upper Room Discourse, in which he encourages us to follow the example of our Lord and Savior and pray for those around us. The principal text is found in the book of John, 17th chapter.
You know, recently last week, we concluded with chapter 16 of John, and we left off where Jesus had made a way for us, believing humans, to have direct access to God, not having to go through the ritual of a high priest who had to atone for his sins often and the sins of the saints. And he was a sort of go-between between God and the saints and the people of God. Jesus says, you have free access to the Father now. Do it in my name, he says, right? So we left off there. Everyone is familiar with the prayer which we call the Lord's Prayer, which is technically the disciples' prayer. When the Lord said, and when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's really the disciples' prayer. This, what we're covering today, in the 17th chapter of John, is the longest recorded prayer of our Lord. You remember he had the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, arguably the shortest. He repeated it three times. And you know the prayer that he showed the disciples, which we just referenced. But this is actually the Lord's Prayer. And it is often, in theological circles, is often called the High Priestly Prayer, thus today's title, the High Priestly Prayer. And we're going to get into it today, but it's actually broken up into three segments, if you will. He prays for himself, those immediately around him that he loves, and then us, those who would become future believers, right? But we'll notice this, and keep this in mind when you pray. The shortest part of his prayer was about him. Because most of our prayers is, Lord, me, Lord, I suffer, Lord, me, Lord, Lord, and bless my mother. It's something important to notice about this. In it, he begins by asking the Father to glorify him. He could have prayed to himself and not let it, but he let us hear it for a reason. Then it's recorded for a reason, so we can learn from it. And his first interest was that he glorifies the Father. Now, how is that? By glorifying himself. How is that? By doing what it is the Father has for you to do. In his case, it involved suffering. That's fulfilling the Father's will involved him suffering. So Jesus accepts his path to glory. Why am I saying all this? What does it have to do with us? Do you accept the path that the Lord has for you, even if it involves suffering? He does not complain. He embraces it. Now, there are reasons why the Lord has us to suffer. And there are sometimes reasons why he doesn't heal you. But let's go over some, let's give you five reasons why we suffer. Now, mind you, why am I talking about suffering? Because the Lord's path to glory, the Lord's glorifying the Father, was that he fulfilled the Father's mission for him. And that Father's mission for him was to do the redemptive work on the cross, suffering. Suffering also, 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, could be testing your faith. But you think my faith doesn't need any testing. How do you know? Maybe that sickness is a testing of your faith. Read 1 Peter 1:6 and 7.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in the heaviness through manifold temptations.
Testing, suffering. See that fancy language? In heaviness through manifold temptation. Even if you're suffering right now, you greatly rejoice. Why? Keep on reading, Peter.
That the trial of your faith.
That the testing of your faith.
Being much more precious than of gold that perishes.
What's more precious than gold that perishes? Your faith is more precious than gold, which perishes. It's temporary. But your faith is much more precious than gold, but it gets tested just like gold does. And when is gold the best? When it's been through the fire. See, we have to learn to start thinking like Christians. and stop thinking like the world thinks you ought to think. Well, if God loves you, why doesn't he heal you? Sometimes he's testing your faith. Read on. Did you finish 7?
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
When Jesus comes, you get praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Did you see that? See, saints, why am I setting this up? We didn't even get to the sermon yet. I often say that, but you need some background, so when we get to it, you'll see what and appreciate better what we're talking about, what the Word is talking about. Yes, testing is necessary. Trials are necessary. Also, it humbles you. Read 2 Corinthians 12, 7.
Unless I should be exalted above measure.
Unless I get a big head. So let me just go on and break it down in plain English before he even reads it in the fancy King James. Sometimes God doesn't heal you to keep you humble. Because some people, when you start feeling all right, nothing's wrong, the Lord becomes secondary. Or you get puffed up that it's you, that it's you. Sometimes the Lord reminds us, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Translation, I saved you. Be happy with that. 1 Peter 2:11 tells us,
dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims.
Strangers and pilgrims where? On earth. Now, go to Hebrews 13:14.
Hebrews 13:14, for we have no continuing city.
We have no permanent city.
But we seek one to come.
Now, do you see between 1 Peter 2:11 and Hebrews 13:14 that while you're suffering, you're only temporarily here, and we're looking for that permanent dwelling yet to come. So keep that in mind while you're suffering. Keep that in mind while that thing just won't heal. And please give me 2 Corinthians 4:17.
For our light affliction.
Whatever you're going through now.
Which is but
listen,
for.
Listen. Whatever you're going through now. Cancer. Whatever it is. COVID. Whatever it is. Whatever. It's a light affliction.
Which is but for a moment.
And compared to eternity, it's a moment.
Amen.
It's terrible while you're going through it. And it seems long and never ending. Word says, but for a moment.
Amen. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Weight. That implies, but for a moment, light affliction, but a heavy weight of glory, which is forever.
Amen.
Do you know what the Bible is doing there? Telling you just what I just told. Put your life in perspective.
Yes.
There are reasons. And do you know that all suffering of the righteous glorify God?
How
is it glorified God? The same way Jesus is suffering glorified the Father. Because you're fulfilling the mission he has for you. And you're doing it in faith, believing. Jesus did no sin and suffered. And we're told when we suffer, we share in, give me the last one, please.
First Peter 4:13.
We identify with Jesus' suffering because we suffer. So the Bible calls it share in his partakers of his suffering.
Amen.
To share in his suffering.
Amen.
That whatever you're going through, stop complaining. Because what you're actually doing is sharing in the suffering of Jesus.
Amen.
Identifying with Jesus.
Yes,
here's the difference. We deserve ours.
Amen.
He didn't.
Yes,
and out of love, went to that cross anyway. For us. 4:13, read that please.
But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings.
How many of you rejoice when you said, when the doctor says something, you got cancer? Hey! Most of us are human, and oh my Lord, Jesus. And a number of us, why me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, don't forget the self-pity often comes in.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't have to be cancer, whatever it is. Most of us go there rather than rejoice. I ask you again, how many of us think biblically? Because Peter tells us, rejoice.
In as much as ye are partakers of Christ's
in
suffering.
In as much as you can identify with Jesus' suffering.
1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Exceeding joy. That means you won't be able to stop it. Anyway, that brings us back to John 17 and the high priestly prayer, as is known in theological circles, is what we're going to deal with today. Because our Lord, and but mind you, these are his last words, recorded words. Why do I say little things like that? I say these are his last words before he went out and got arrested. Now, some of them say, how do you know he didn't say, excuse me? That's why the last recorded words in the upper room are in John 17th chapter. Within an hour, he's going to be arrested, betrayed. And though some said, I'll never leave, I don't care if it means my death, scattered like track stars when it came to being arrested, the Lord being arrested. But watch this prayer, and let's watch what we glean from it. But keep in mind, the first thing out of his mouth is, Father, the hour has come. Amen. Glorify your son. Mm. Glorify. You know what Jesus just said? Help me to do the death thing. Yes. Because that's what brings the Father glory. Once the son, how does the son get glorified? By fulfilling the mission the Father sent him here to do. And how does the Father get glory? Because the Father's redemptive plan was successful. Amen. So he's really asking the Father, go do this death thing on the cross by saying, glorify your son. Read, please, John 17, 1.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven.
What words spake Jesus?
Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee.
That may glorify you. Again, this is why I preambled with, what glorifies the Father? Well, Jesus being glorified. Okay, that begs the question, what glorifies Jesus? Fulfilling the mission the Father sent him here to do.
Yes, sir.
Which is what? Dying on the cross for the sins of many. Amen. That Jesus may have some siblings for eternity.
Amen.
Did you think about that? God sent Jesus down here to bring his family back home. Yes, think of it. This is why I don't understand Christians with low self-esteem.
Yes, sir.
When out of all of humanity, he said, you I want.
Yes, sir.
And I get on saints sometimes. I say, sometimes you don't like you. You look in the mirror, you get self-conscious. And God loves you.
Yes, sir.
And who made you? So why is it you don't like your look? You don't like God's handiwork? We have to start thinking with a biblical mindset. And just every time you feel low, wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Out of the billions and billions of people ever made and born, made starting with Adam and Eve, and then born, all successive human beings, he chose me. He knows every hair on your head, the few that are left. He knows them all too. But that was just a way of saying he knows you so intimately.
Yes, sir.
Why wouldn't you love you? Think about it. He does. Are you better than God? Listen to this prayer. Jesus' interest is in glorifying the Father. So he says, how do I glorify the Father? By doing what he sent me here to do. What do we glean from this? What's your mission here? Glorify the Father by fulfilling the mission he has for you. Aren't we fellow workers together with him? So everybody in here has a ministry. Everybody's is not to preach. It could be the simplest of things, showing love, encouraging someone,
yes,
cleaning up,
yes,
helping out, doing what it, fulfill the ministry he has for you.
Yes.
How do I know what it is? What do you have the propensity to do that you do well that benefits the church?
Yes,
let's start with that.
Yeah. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Do you know what before means? Before he said, let there be light, decided to save you, and he had a job for you to do.
Yes.
That's what before means. Which God had before ordained. That means in eternity past, he ordained that I'd be standing here doing just what I'm doing today.
Yes,
that's just me. Now, you have your calling. What is yours? What do you do well? What, where God gets the glory?
The hour has come.
And he literally meant the hour. As we count times, the next 60 minutes is upon him. The hour has come.
Yes.
glorify your son.
That thy son.
I like the way he refers to himself in the third person there. Glorify your son, that your son
also may be.
Now watch this.
As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
That's why he wants to be glorified. Did you see that? The reason he wants to be glorified, what God sent him here to do, give some eternal life.
Amen.
Save them. Us. Did you see that? He told us the reason he wants to be glorified. And he knows his glorification means dying. He was able to, Hebrews 12:2. This is what we're to do. When you're up against it, can you Hebrews 12:2?
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Oh, that's it right there. It, for the joy that was set before. So Jesus looked beyond the cross and could see the glory where I'm back with the Father where I belong, from whence I come. Now bring on whatever pain you have. That's how we're to deal with life. It's temporary. But if you're able to look beyond your cross, which you're to pick up and follow him daily with, if we're able to pick up our cross, follow him daily, but look beyond the cross, then you'll pick that cross up daily. Because you know it's only temporary.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if it's 70, 80, 90, 100 some years. It's temporary. Yeah. Glorify your son that your son may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, I'm the one's going to save everybody, saying, I got authority over all flesh. Remember, he came up and said, all power is good. Another thing, look at how he's looking beyond what's happening to when he got his power back. As you've given me power over all flesh. Yes. He's looking to that moment where he's going to come up and say, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
Right now, he's still limited. But do you hear him praying as though he's limited?
No.
He's praying as though he already has it. See, to look at something in a biblical way or a Christ-like way is totally different than looking at it in our temporary, human, limited way. Self-consumed way. Lord, but it's going to hurt me. Take me out of it. And though I'm spending more time on this than Jesus did, the shortest part of his prayer is about him. And from verses 6 through 26, read on, please.
John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God.
Do you see what's life eternal? What eternal life, same thing. Do you see what eternal life is? Knowing the only true God and
Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Do you know him?
Yes.
And he doesn't mean know of him. He doesn't mean know him about him intellectually. He means know him.
Yes.
In terms of love him, obey him, desire him. That's knowing him.
Amen.
You know what he's doing also? Is it help me to glorify you? He is building Genesis 3:15. That's the first gospel preached. Did you know the gospel was preached in the Old Testament?
Yes, sir.
You will bruise his heel,
yes,
Satan.
Yes, yes.
But he's going to wallop you upside the head, which means he will destroy you. The language is not always understood by people. First of all, God goes from cursing the physical serpent, the snake, you shall crawl upon your belly, to cursing the spiritual serpent, Satan. That's what he does. Read 3:15.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Uh-huh. Who's the seed of the woman? Jesus?
Yes.
And all of us.
Amen.
He says, I will put enmity
between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Read on.
It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Now, that, see, didn't Jesus get bruised on his way to? And but he's going to destroy the head, destroy Satan, which he did on the cross. He destroyed Satan and his works. Though Satan is still free for a time, but his works are null and void on you. He came and protected us. He even removed the fear of death, that's Satan's number one weapon, to scare humans with death.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus made it so where believers say, I'm not afraid of death.
Yes, sir.
As a human, I may dread the process of it.
Yes, sir.
But actual death, no, I know where I'm going.
Yes,
read, please.
John 17 at verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth.
Did you see that again? Did he finish his mission yet? But he's speaking as though he did because he knows he will.
Amen.
I have glorified you on earth.
Yes.
I've equipped them with all they need to resist Satan. I told them everything you told me to tell them. The deeper stuff that's coming later, those that you're going to send, Testament apostles and writers do that. Because he says, everything I have to tell you, you're not ready to hear.
Yes, sir.
But when I go away and leave the Spirit in you, he'll teach you from within. Because you're not ready for all these truths I have for you while I'm standing here in the flesh. You can barely accept me while I'm here.
Yes,
half the things Jesus told them, he said, what did he say? What are you talking about? They just could not understand him. But when that Holy Ghost gets in you, and the Holy Ghost teaches you, that's Jesus in spirit form. But he's working from a place of internal understanding where you get it. Read, please.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
Saints, I want you to see what my Lord is doing here. I said he's looking beyond the cross. He's saying, I've already done it. I'm going to, he's saying. But in his mind, since I'm praying now, Lord, I've done it. Father, I've done it.
Amen.
So, the work you gave me here to do.
Yes. Verse 5. And now, glorify thou me with thine own self.
Take me on up into heaven where I belong.
Yes. Amen.
Give me your glory. Amen. Glorify me with yourself.
With the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
I belong there.
Yes.
In other words, Father, take me back home. Isn't that something? He's so prepared for the path set before him, and that path was to glorify God through pain and death. And let me tell you something before anyone gets this incorrectly or misconstrues what I'm saying. I am not telling you to go out and look for pain. I'm not telling you to be a masochist and hurt yourself. I'm telling you to live a Christian life. It's going to come. Because you are a target. Now he turns to those who are around him. And I thought this was poignantly important for us to note because it's what we ought to do too. Remember those around you. Pray for them. Some are very needy. If they're your brother or your sister, pray for them. Also, what we're going to see in this prayer, now this is for the disciples immediately around him and by extension us also. But he gets to us at verse 20, those who would be future believers. At this point now, between 6 and 19, he's going to pray for those that are immediately around him. And I want you to watch prayer.
John 17, 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world.
What does that mean? I've manifested your name unto the men you've given me out of this world. I've shown them what you're like. Name. Manifest is a show. He's saying, I've shown... Listen, when you saw Jesus walking, when you saw the way he, when you saw what he did, his compassion, when you saw, that was Jesus showing you how a human should be on earth.
Yes, sir.
But it also was how God is on earth. That was God. He's saying, I've shown them you. When you see me, you've seen the Father. He didn't mean looking at his flesh was looking at God the Father. But when you see me, when you hear me, when you encounter me, when you watch what I do, when you are like me, you're just like the Father. So Jesus' compassion, some people think he was too nice, what a nice guy. Think about it. He could hardly go by some, and John tells us, if I told you everything he did, the libraries of the world wouldn't hold the books. So how many times did he just do things just because as sovereign God, I just wanted to heal? No particular reason. His love for others, character and way. But what is he saying? That's the way you are, Father. I have manifested your name to the many out of the world. What else do we see right in that first sentence? Because you're going to see it a few more times in this passage. Predestination. It means before conversion, before you knew, you were saved. and you didn't know it yet. But God sent him here that we may come through the process that the Father ordained, and that is belief in Jesus. But if God the Father gave them to Jesus, whose were they before he gave them to Jesus? God the Father. So you already belong to God. Now, for my, go to Acts 18:10. I'm going to tell you something about being saved before conversion. That sounds oxymoronic. How can you be saved before you were converted? Didn't God say, Paul, don't you be afraid of them, because I have some people in that city, Corinth. I have some people. So they belong to God already, but I need you to go in there and preach Jesus to them that they can come through the conversion process. What does this tell us then? Before we belong to Jesus, you belong to God.
You are listening to a message titled, The High Priestly Prayer, preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146, or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
Acts 18:10.
For I am with thee, and no man shall set
This is God talking to Paul.
For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee.
Because Paul was getting threats, and they were going to kill him. He said, listen, I'm with you. Don't worry about it. Yes, nobody's going to hurt you. Finish that.
For I have much people in this city.
Oh, God already has some people in that city. They're not saved yet. They're not converted yet. But by saying, I have people in that city, what did God just say? They're already mine. Now you go in and make them mine. Verses 6 and 10. Every verse mentions the Father, the Son, and disciples. Every verse between 6 and 10. Now, is that not intimacy? Now, I want you to pay attention. In this first one, I, that's Jesus, have manifested your, that's God the Father, name to the men, that's the disciples. That's verse 1. Whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. Then they belong to the Father first. They were yours, they, that's the disciples again, were yours, God the Father. You, God the Father, gave them to me. Again, the disciples, the Father and Jesus. All, this is intimacy. He's showing us the intimacy he has in here for us. He's linking us with the Father and himself. Between verses 6 and 10, this is so beautiful to me. This is the high priestly prayer. It's more than just a prayer on the surface. Look at what he's doing here. That's in the first verse. I said every verse between 6 and 10, he mentions the Father, the Son himself, and disciples. Is he not emphasizing intimacy?
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean by how the emphasizing. You see what I'm saying? Keep on reading. Watch this again.
Verse 7. Now they have
the disciples,
have known all things that whatsoever thou,
you, the Father,
hath given me,
Jesus,
are
again,
yes.
The very next verse, the disciples, the Father, and Jesus are mentioned.
Yes. Amen.
Do you notice this? I said every verse between 6 and 10, the Father, yes, Jesus, and the disciples are mentioned. Emphasis on intimacy. Amen. Now they, the disciples, have known that all things which you, the Father, have given me, Jesus the Son, are from you, the Father. That's verse 7.
Yes.
Now let's go to verse 8.
For I
have
given unto them,
the disciples,
the words which thou gavest
the Father. Are you with me? Every verse between 6 and 10, he mentions himself, the Father, and disciples, his followers. Isn't this beautiful?
Yes, sir.
Verse 8 again, please.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me.
That's Jesus.
And they have
and the Father. And they, the disciples,
have received them and have known surely that I came,
Jesus the Son,
came out from thee,
you the Father,
and they
and the disciples
have believed that thou,
Jesus, the Father again,
did send me,
Jesus. By the way, this prayer is God talking to God. Isn't that something? You ever think of it that way? This prayer is God speaking with God. Oh, I love the way He says they have believed. That's another confession that they have saving faith. Jesus just said right there that these around me are saved. Another thing notice. Go to John 13:31. Notice, none of this good stuff started until Judas left the room. Look at Jesus in John 13:31.
Therefore, when he had gone out.
When who had gone out? When Judas left the room.
Yes. Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified.
No, what Jesus just said? Now, why did he say now is the man? Was Jesus on the cross then?
No, sir.
Know what he meant? Now things are put in motion. I can go and get this thing done.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's what he meant by now is the Son of Man glorified. He said, wait, Judas, shut the door. Judas is gone. Now I'm glorified.
Yes.
Because by Judas leaving, that set in motion. He went out to betray Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus is saying, now the things have started. Jesus saw it as having been, it's done. Read on, please.
And God is glorified in him.
And God is glorified in Jesus.
Wow.
See, again, referring to himself in the third person. But then God is glorified in him, the Son of Man. Read on.
Yes. And if God be glorified in him.
And if God is glorified in Jesus.
God shall also glorify him in himself.
God shall also give Jesus his glory when he gets to heaven.
Right.
Yes.
But by saying now is the Son of Man. After, how does the sentence start? So when he had gone out,
yes.
Mm-hmm. When Judas, because remember it says, and Satan entered Judas.
Right.
So now that, see, I don't know if you realize this, in that upper room, Satan was there the whole time. But Jesus has some intimate stuff to do with these disciples, and it did not include Satan being part of it.
Amen.
So when he gave them, From this point on, Judas has gone out of the room. And notice the tone changes. It's more intimate.
Yes,
and it's more concerning you, those around me. Now, let's get back to 17. Where were we? 17,
going
9.
On.
Let's go to 9.
I, Jesus. Pray for them.
The disciples.
I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me.
Did you see? Which you, the Father, I pray for them, the disciples, which you, the Father, have given me, Jesus, there again.
Yes, for they are thine.
They are yours.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Hear what the Bible is saying.
Amen.
Before we became Jesus's, the Father already owned you.
That's right.
And he's, how can you deny Jesus' own words? He's saying, Father, you gave them to me. Now, why did he do that? Because that was the process the Father had ordained. That I chose them, but I'm sending my Son, Jesus, me in another form, come in through him. But you already belong to me. And that's why every true believer already belonged to God. Ephesians 1:4.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
That we should be separated, holy,
yes, sir,
and without blame. What does that mean? The slate wiped clean.
Yes.
And in love. You're not just here. He's not just tolerating you. Remember Jesus said that they may know that that you love them just as you love me?
Yes.
That didn't resonate with enough of you. Do you realize, as I tried to make clear last Sunday, as much as God the Father loves Jesus, that's how he loves all of us.
John 16 at verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and believe that I came out from God.
Himself, the Father loves you. Isn't that something? Oh, thank the Lord for that. Go on. All mine, verse 10.
And all mine
that's are, Jesus,
are thine,
Father,
and thine
Father,
are mine,
Jesus.
And I am glorified in them.
Us, yes, disciples, yes. In, by extension.
Beautiful.
Did you see that? Between verses, keep that in mind, between verses 6 and 10, he always mentions Father and the disciples. And that is emphasizing the intimacy. Review this again. Let's go back between 6 and 10, and I'm going to show you where predestination is mentioned. We already hinted at it, but now let's look at it specifically. Go to verse 6.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they
Wait.
Were.
Oh, which you gave me. Father, as I said earlier, gave them to Jesus. They belong to the Father first, predestination.
Yes.
Election. Mm-hmm. Go to verse 9.
Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them, which thou hast given me.
Which you have given me.
Yes.
They were yours.
Yes.
Verse 10.
And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them.
If they're God's, the Father's, if they're God the Father's, we, the disciple, he's talking about those immediately around him, but that by extension that applies to all believers, then that means you were predestined. See, we thought when Paul actually used the word predestination. Jesus is telling you right here about the doctrine of predestination. Genesis 3:15 told us the first gospel good news. Be a fight between Satan and Jesus. Jesus is going to win. Genesis 3:15. See, but we get confused with bruise the heel, hit him on the head. What does that mean? Injure him for a little while, but you temporarily, Satan, temporarily destroyed, is what that was saying. I'm not speaking to Satan. I'm speaking about him. Never speak to Satan. Now look at verse 11. Now watch this. Again, about this prayer. This prayer teaches us so much. Now here's a prayer of protection. Look, this prayer now turns to protecting those that he loves. Watch this.
17:11 of John. And now I am no more in the world.
Now wasn't he still right there in the world? But you see how looking beyond the cross, looking beyond the suffering, looking at when he's glorified, he says, now I'm no longer in the world, Father. Yes.
But these are in the world.
Can you imagine those sitting around listening to him? They say, he's right here. And he's saying, Father, now I'm no longer in the world. Yes. And you can see Peter, but Lord, you are still here. But he says, I'm no longer in the world.
But these are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
Now that's another thing we're going to get to, it because the last part really emphasizes it. But do you see how Jesus always stressed unity between believers? Yes, sir. Do you see why I can't understand or accept quietly grudges between saints? Yes, how one are the Father and Jesus? And he just prayed that we be like that. It's our Lord's prayer to the Father. He says, I'm leaving this world. In fact, I'm already out of it. He says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep, meaning protect, guard, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them.
Yes, in the world.
Go to John 18:8.
John 18:8 answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way.
Protecting them.
Yes. Amen.
Leave them alone. But see, he's about to leave. He knows he's going to send back the Holy Ghost. So he's praying the Father, protect them when I'm gone. Because it's going to be some time between when I send the Holy Ghost and when I'm up on that cross. He said, I won't. Holy Ghost is not yet sent. See, these are right around him. They're going to be coming after them too. But when the Comforter has come, protect you.
Amen.
But it's going to be a period where I'm not going to be able to do anything for them. So he's praying for those right around him. Also, John 39, I have that here for some reason on the protection thing. 6:39.
John 6:39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day.
He's not going to lose one. He said, I'll protect them. Yes, sir. That's while he's here. Yes, sir. Now he's about to go. And this little interim period, he's going to be helpless to help them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No Holy Ghost yet sent. So Father, in your way, keep, guard, protect them.
Yes, sir.
Those that were. Do you see how his prayer, in the longest portion, concern for those he loves? Let's keep that in mind when we're praying. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name.
Yes.
Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition.
Yes.
Translation, the son of hell.
Yeah.
So he said, I've lost none, but I've kept them.
That's the scripture.
Might be fulfilled.
Amen.
But now I come to you.
And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
What's his joy? We went over this last week. What is his joy? Contentment or calmness or whatever, in whatever you're going through. There's a certain calm, a certain joy, and a certain peace you have because you know you're fulfilling the Lord's will. Another thing, you know he's with you. No matter what happens to you, you know the Lord is with you. And that is wonderful. I love this one. Now pay attention here too, saints. Yes, please.
And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have given them thy word.
What God the Father sent Jesus here to tell us, he's saying, I've delivered that.
Yes.
I've equipped them enough where they can carry on in your word. Mm-hmm. I've given them what they need to survive.
Yes.
If they would just hold on to your word, you have all you need.
Amen.
Any additional word will come when I send my New Testament prophets. After Pentecost, these things will happen. But right now, for those around him, he's saying, I've given them what they need.
Amen.
Yes?
And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world.
Remember that too, saints. Don't try to fit in or compromise with this world.
Yes, sir.
The world is going to hate you.
That's right.
It hated Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Acts tells us through much persecutions or tribulations as it's sent to the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22, is it?
Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith.
Exhorting them to continue in what is written in Scripture. In, continue in the faith once delivered to the saints,
yes.
Not something made up along the way over the last 2,000 years. No.
Amen.
That which was delivered originally by the apostles.
Yes, sir.
An apostle of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Finally encountered Jesus Christ. And Paul being the last one as a person born out of due season.
Yes, sir.
But he's praying that we continue in the faith.
Through much tribulation.
No. No. You were promised a bed of roses. An easy life. No. You're going to have a whole lot of troubles in this life, which is natural to human beings. But it's the way we deal with things that makes the difference. The way we look at things. We're not so unique that we don't suffer what others suffer. In fact, we're told that when we do suffer, rejoice. Count it all joy when you go through these things. But I want you to notice how he does not pray that you have no troubles. His prayer is that we be kept from the evil one, or evil itself, as some translations will have, just evil. And this wicked, hateful world system run by Satan, which hated Christ, is not going to be kind, not going to like you either. That is not to say you can't do well in this life as people count doing well. No, you're supposed to do the best you can. Do whatever you can. Achieve as much as you can. But understand, to compromise, and there are people who try to do this. They try to avoid being influenced by the world by joining a convent or some cult. And we isolate ourselves from the world. That's not what Jesus said, do. What did he say? Let your light so shine in this world.
That's right.
But some people like to isolate themselves. They've tried for centuries to avoid the evils of the world by shutting themselves off from the world. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:14-16, you have that?
Yes, sir.
Read, please.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid.
So how can you hide yourself away in a monastery or a convent?
That's right.
Now listen, I'm not getting on people. Well, I'm just mentioning, that is not what does it.
No, sir. Amen.
What did Jesus say do?
Put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine.
Let your light so shine.
Before men.
Why?
That they may see your good works.
And do what?
And glorify
your
Father.
Glory right back to the Father
again. Which is in heaven.
So the world could say, oh, you know what? She's honest. He's loyal to his wife. He's a good provider. So they may see. He tells the truth. She tells the truth. Let your light shine.
Amen.
They can say, this person's different.
John chapter 17.
15 verse.
At verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them.
Protect, guard, keep. I'm interrupting because the word keep means to protect.
Yes, sir.
keep them
from the evil.
Guard them from the evil one or from evil.
Amen.
Out of the world. I'm leaving them in this world. I don't pray that you take them out. But he's saying, Father, protect them. There's going to be a period of time when I'm going to be helpless.
Yes, sir.
And the Holy Ghost won't be sent yet. Keep them. Again, he says earlier in the prayer, remember he said that? I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep that through your... He's asking the Father, I'm going to be gone for a little bit. And the Holy Ghost won't be here. Keep them. Protect them. Which is what the Father did. Right? I do not... That you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them or guard them from the evil one or from evil.
Amen. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
Now, of meaning from or belonging to. That interchangeable preposition of or from can be either can be used there, but they use here of in the classical English. 16. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Amen. Now, watch this.
Sanctify them through thy truth.
What is your truth?
Thy word is truth.
Now, how can you possibly be separated from the world if you don't know the Bible? The thing that sets our thinking different to the world, I know in England they say different to the world, here we say different from the world, same thing, is the gospel. It's the truth of the Bible. That's why we have to know it. That's why teachers are told to study it. So that you may know what you're talking about. Verse 18.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world.
Oh. Did you see that? He likened the disciples. You know how you sent me in the world to show what truth is? You know how you sent me in the world to be an example to mankind what they ought to be like with each other? I'm sending my disciples in the world to do the same thing. As you sent me, so send I them. That's why I said by extension, that also applies to us, though he's actually praying for those immediately around him.
Verse 19.
Yes.
And for their sakes, I sanctify myself.
No, a lot of people don't know what that means. What he is saying is he is totally set apart to the Father's will. Now, he says here, for their sakes, I set myself apart for your will exclusively. I want them to do the same thing. Read on, please.
That they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Did you see that? Didn't he just say to set apart or sanctify them by the truth? Yeah. So he's saying the way I set myself apart is for their sake. So they see how I'm totally dedicated to you, Father. I want them to be set apart exclusively for the truth. Now he gets to us. And this is the third section of this prayer. First was about himself. Shortest portion, 1 through 5, verses 1 through 5. And then verses 6 through 19. The prayer was about those immediately around him and by extension, to some degree, those of us living today. But this specifically was for those who were to be future disciples, future followers. Now, you've heard me say many times that anyone that's a true Christian is apostolic.
Yes, sir.
Apostolic only means following the faith of the apostles.
Yes, sir.
Jesus right here says they're going to get it from you.
Yes.
You disciples around me, you yes. apostles. Right here. I do not pray for these alone.
But for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Through the word of the apostles.
That's right. Amen.
They are the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jesus is the foundation. When I say they are the foundation, they're foundationary in that they laid Jesus. That no other one can build on this foundation except the foundation which was laid. And watch how you build on it. And that was talking about primarily the pastors and evangelists and ministers. And then it gets to people in general. Whatever works you do, shall burn if they're not powered by the Spirit, even though the person themselves shall be. 1 Corinthians 3:9.
For we are laborers together with God.
Now, he's talking specifically here about pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Now, he's going to broaden it, but he's talking specifically here about those that have a leading role in the church, especially teaching or evangelizing, preaching. Yes.
You are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
See, he used two different metaphors there. You're his field, his husbandry, and then he used another metaphor, you're his building.
Yes.
Yes?
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation.
That's when I said the apostle laid the foundation, just like Paul is saying that he's laid the foundation.
Yes, sir.
But watch, let him keep on talking.
And another buildeth thereon.
And someone else works, builds, finishes what he started.
Yes.
Watch this, though.
But let every man take heed.
Let each one take heed.
How he builds thereon.
I want 11 now.
For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Modern English. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, Paul just said he laid the foundation. But his point is, I laid down Jesus for you. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with silver, gold, now he's talking about the saints in general.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Mm-hmm.
If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
That is, if you've done anything for the glory of God, by the power of God, you're going to get a reward. Yes?
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved.
So you see, someone may inadvertently make a mistake, preaching error, but not intentionally. So that'll burn, even though you may be individually saved. All right? Let's get back to John now.
Returning to John chapter 17 at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Their word meaning the ones he just prayed for, those immediately around him, specifically the apostles that were to lay the foundation of the truth, the gospel in the New Testament. Yes.
That they all may be one.
Notice in this section, the emphasis is unity.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to go out on this one. Unity. Unity in the church. And oftentimes, verse 23 is used by those promoting the ecumenical movement, saying, see, we should have institutional unity, when Jesus is praying here about individual unity between members. Carry on, please.
21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Saints, do you see that we, through our unity, are to be a testimony to the world?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Notice he said that the world may believe that you sent me. Why? Because look at how united those people are. Unity in the body of Christ is so important to Jesus, he himself prays for it.
Yes,
and notice these are the last words he says before he goes out and gets arrested. He's talking about church unity.
Yes.
I in them.
And thou in me.
And you in me, when I get the heavenly, that glory which I had from the beginning of time, before
yes.
time.
Amen. That they may be made perfect
That
in
they
one.
May be made complete.
In one.
In one.
And that the world.
Again, a testimony to the world.
Yes.
That the world may know that you have sent me.
Yes. And has loved them as thou hast loved me.
Stop. Didn't I say that?
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying didn't I say that like I made it up. My point is, didn't I stress that earlier?
Yes, sir.
He wants them to know, the world to know, that God the Father loves these Christians just like he loved Jesus. Saints, that's why I beg you, I implore you. Unity is necessary. I've said many times, when God the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus. Not your imperfection.
Yes, sir.
He looks beyond that. The cross took care of that. When you think about it, the cross took care of that.
Yes,
you can now look at us in glory. Another scripture says you are glorified. And we're sitting right here. Well, Jesus said, I'm out of the world. He was sitting right there in the world. But he can speak of things that are not as though they were, because he is God and can't lie.
That's right.
And he said the Father loves us just like he loved Jesus. Father, I desire, though I like this. This is, Father, I want to show them around where I'm from.
Yes, sir.
You ever take somebody around your house, around your neighborhood, and show them, and you're proud of it, you know?
Yes,
this is Jesus saying, Father, I want them to see. He says, Father, I desire that they, also whom you gave me, again, predestination is mentioned because you gave them to me. They belong to the Father already. We, that's us today.
Yes, sir.
Here, since verse 20, he's talking about us. He's talking about you, D. Since verse 20. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am.
Yes.
That is in glory. That they may behold, that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you. He says, the world has not known you. But I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. What did he just say there? Those of us who believe have saving faith. Well, you didn't see that? When you believe that God sent Jesus, That's a declaration of salvation.
Yes.
And I have declared to them your name. Show them who you really are. And will declare it. I have yet to do more work in them. That the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Isn't that what a prayer? What a prayer. Saints, keep this in your mind. What John 17 teaches us about prayer. That Jesus prays for himself, that he will fulfill the Father's mission and ministry for him, as we should too. Pray the same thing, that we fulfill the Father's ministry and mission that he has for us. Number two, Jesus prays for others because he loves them and cares for them. And so should we. And by the way, the prayer, the part about him was the shortest part of his prayer. The primary goal of prayer should be to glorify God. Not to show how good you are with words. It should be to glorify God. Since earthly suffering can bring glory, our prayers should not be obsessed with ending our suffering, but with the realization that God's purposes in our suffering are for his glory. Remember that. Stop praying so much that your suffering ends, but that God be glorified through whatever it is he's allowing you to go through. And that he be with you as you go through it, including aging. Our prayers should seek the protection from Satan's influence. Keep us from the evil one. And his power, since Satan does seek our destruction. Our prayers should seek to gain a proper perspective of the present in light of what's coming. So we keep it here in a temporary place. I don't even belong here. I'm a stranger here. I'm a pilgrim, a sojourner, passing through. And let us end with this. Church unity is primary in the Lord's mind because he ends the prayer emphasizing how this church, how we, his one church, should be one as he and the Father are one. God bless you all. Peace be unto you. Thank you for coming to Kansas City. And see you in Philadelphia next week.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.